right, Revelation chapter 17, back in Revelation chapter 17. Pastor, why do we need to go through this? Why do we have to talk about who the great whore is, who the mother of all harlots is, who the Babylon the Great is, and abominations of the earth? In case a discussion comes up at work, as it did with somebody just this past week, the question came up about the Antichrist. And they were able to, you know, tell these people what they have been reminded of through Scripture and what the Scripture says about the Antichrist. Because you never know when someone's going to bring up a biblical topic. And as Christians, Jesus does tell us to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us of the hope that lies within you. Well, yeah, but they asked about the Antichrist. They didn't ask about my salvation. No, but isn't the Antichrist attached to all of that? Because we're not going to be here when the Antichrist is reigning over this world, because our blessed hope is coming to remove us. So, you know what? All Scripture is profitable, the Bible tells us. So, be ready. I mean, this is exciting. It's exciting. Some things I want to share with you that is in the non-mainstream news media. I really believe the rapture is right around the corner. And I believe it's at the door, not around the corner. I believe it's at the door. And just as we see some things in this world quickly advancing. Anyone in here ever heard of, what's the term? Agenda 20. Anyone ever heard of Agenda 20? When all the world leaders get together and they have their little, summit meetings, G20 and all that, and they have their UN meetings, and then Klaus Schwab has his World Economic Forum where all the world leaders get together and they talk about, the problems of the world, how are we going to solve it. Well, Agenda 20 basically, in a nutshell, is what happened in the year 2020. What happened in the year 2020? COVID, lockdowns, mask mandates, all of that. That was discussed a few years prior in this meeting of world leaders. There is another agenda that has been discussed, and it's called Agenda 23. Agenda 23, and it talks about bringing in the one world government, the cashless society, and all of that the Bible talks about, all right? The Bible talks about these things. It was revealed to John, the end times. That's why we're reading the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 17. We talked about it last week. But I've got some more just information I want to give you this morning. But let me read you some headlines here. Again, you can find this all on winepress.com, winepressnews.com. It's a Christian news organization that reports on the things that the mainstream media will not. But recently, Greece introduces biometric ID cards, right? They just introduced the biometric ID cards, and there is an uproar in Greece. There are those people that do not want it because they understand the implications of it. I'm not sure who this guy is. I didn't have a chance to look him up, but Technomaniac Sam Altman says he intends to replace normal people he calls median humans with AI. You know what's going to happen with AI and all these robots? I mean, they're going to take jobs. They're going to take people's jobs, and people are going to be out of their job. Let's see. Oops. Go back here. Where'd you go? Don't disappear. Let's see. German government officials, this was recently, offered children a pro-prostitution picture book to normalize whoredom. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? And when I read the when I read the article, the picture book is very explicit. Let's see. A study predicts 90% of the internet will be generated by AI by 2026. So guess what that means? You already can't trust a lot of stuff on the internet. But if all the information is being generated by AI, you can't trust any of it. The one thing I want to warn you Christians about is do not solely rely on. I mean, you can find some good information when you're trying to study your Bible, and you're trying to study the history of events that are happening. I mean, there are some good websites you can go to, but if it ends up by 2026, the internet completely controlled by AI, that means, you know what, if you type in, who was Jesus? In fact, I don't know if the headline's in here, but I came across an article just this week where they are claiming that Jesus was woke. You know what woke is? The woke movement in our country. Basically, that he was for homosexuality. He was for all the sins that the culture promotes and people promote. Two more here. Also in Germany, what I just tell you about Germany, they just introduced the book to normalize prostitutes and make little girls, I want to grow up to be like that. Well, also in Germany recently, hundreds of people who identify as dogs gather to bark and howl in Germany as they are calling to legalize bestiality. Something that's very sick, something that's very demonic. But I understand everyone said, what was the big deal? Just normalize homosexuality. I mean, love is love. I mean, if a man loves a man, if a woman loves a woman, well, guess what? There's this whole thing now where, love is love, and they want to legalize pedophilia. Now it even goes to, let's legalize bestiality because love is love. I mean, but that's how sick. What did Jesus say? It will be like, in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah. How sick and gross was it before the flood? What was it that caused God to be so disgusted? And the Bible says it repented him that he made man because man was corrupt after Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sin entered into the world, and obviously death by sin. Just the world was, we don't know how dark and wicked and evil it was, but looking at what's going on in the world, I can see, man, the rapture's got to be close. I mean, God's not going to let this go on much further. And one last one, Australia says the country will be functionally cashless by 2025. As the nation continues to push digital IDs and implantables to wear. So they're saying by 2025, they will be a cashless society. I mean, just all the wicked and gross things and just the different agendas in the world. I mean, obviously the Bible talks about it, right? It's going to happen, but it's not like we have to just, as Christians sit back and just, twiddle our thumbs and just, it's going to happen, can't do anything. We can still pray against it. We can still tell people it's wrong. When you have a relative or a coworker that wants to talk about it, in love, right, speaking the truth in love, we can let people know the truth. And like I said recently with someone, being able to talk about what the Bible says about the Antichrist to a group of people that work because someone brought up the topic. So we don't have to be afraid to talk about what the Bible talks about. And when someone asks, a biblical question or asks something that's in reference, and you've got the answers, you've got the Bible, we definitely want to be able to give them a biblical worldview, All right, a biblical worldview. And that's what Revelation is all about. So Revelation chapter 17, let's see here. We'll read it real quick, verse 18. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Stopping right there, let me just remind us, when you read in the Bible, Old Testament, God considers his people committing spiritual fornication, adultery, when his people Israel would turn their back on him and go after false gods. Okay? God would call that fornication and adultery because, remember, he espoused to himself a people, the Jews. All right? The nation of Israel is God's chosen people. He started with Abraham. He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, you know, go in a land whither I will show thee. All right? God chose a man. He chose a people for himself. So, because they are espoused to the Lord, God hasn't forsaken Israel. God's going to come back and fulfill the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, the seven-year tribulation, when God deals specifically with Israel, but thankfully because of his grace, Gentiles can still be saved during the seven-year tribulation. But God considers any of his people, not just the Israelites, but any born-again believers that want to yoke up with demons and want to, you know, live worldly and follow after other guys. Oh, there's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. There's nothing wrong with Ouija boards. God considers that fornication. He considers that adultery that we are committing against him. And we need to understand that because as chapter 17 talks about, and we already brought this up last week, but this mother of harlots is the Roman Catholic Church. He calls her the mother of harlots because she is a prostitute. She's a whore. She has brought in all the religions of the world. All the religions of the world. I mean, it is the Tower of Babel. It's the worship of Nimrod and Tammuz and the Queen of Heaven. All that's been brought into Roman Catholicism. And many people have made drunk with her wine, all right? So we have to understand how God truly views his people saying with their lips, I love you, Lord, but their heart is far from him. And they're living in the world and just being a part of everything that's in the world and thinking it's okay. God is a God of love. But we cannot just presume upon his grace. Well, I can just do whatever I want and God just has to forgive me because God is a forgiving, loving God. Yes, he is, but he's also a righteous judge. He's also a righteous judge. Now, reading on, all right, verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." Stopping right there. Verses 1 through 6 is the vision that John sees, and verse 7 through 18, it's revealed to him, you know, what it is he's seeing. The woman is revealed, the beast is revealed. All right, so God does not leave it a secret. And in the days of John and Paul and the other apostles, they would know who this harlot is. the Catholic Church, all right? Rome, they would know who it is, all right? And they preached again and again. We live in a day and age where the truths now have been, supposedly discredited, and the Pope is a good guy. He just wants to see everybody come to the Lord, and Catholicism, it's all about just bringing people back to the Mother Church, because we all split off from the Mother Church, from the Catholic Church. No, the Protestants did, but the Baptists didn't, because the Baptists were in the days of Jesus. Who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River? John the Baptist, right? And to be a Baptist is to baptize, to immerse people under water, because we believe in following Jesus Christ, who said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize, right? Baptize in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. All right. If people read the Bible, there are good Catholics that don't read their Bible because they've been told not to read your Bible. You can't read your Bible because you won't understand it. You can't interpret. Just let the priest interpret it to you. You realize if every Catholic read the Bible, they wouldn't be a Catholic anymore. They would see the fallacy of the Catholic Church. Because in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, God says that you're not to worship any other god but God. Don't make any graven images. What's in Catholic churches? What's even outside the Catholic Church? I mean, just St. Joe's over here, across from Kroger, big statue of Mary, or is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? And then you go in and they just have all these statues, that you're supposed to pray to, different ones for different things. Okay, well, that's, if you just look at that, that's strike number one. God says not to do that. Jesus also said, don't call any man father. He wasn't talking about daddies. He was talking about religious men. Don't call anyone your father because there's only one, right? And what do they call priests? Father so-and-so, right? Father so-and-so. I mean, just there's a whole host of things that just points to the Catholic Church not being right with God. And again, the number one thing is, who do they worship? They don't worship Jesus. I mean, they mention Jesus, but they worship the Queen of Heaven. There was a guy that came here when I first attended church. There was a man that was coming. He claimed to be Catholic and Baptist, because in his country, when he was a boy, his father took him to hear a Baptist preacher. So he claimed to be, he's Baptist and Catholic. And talking to him one day, I said, why do you claim to be Catholic? Don't you believe in Jesus? Don't you believe Jesus for salvation? Yeah, but Mary has to help me get into heaven. And that's what they believe. They believe that, Mary is co-savior with Christ. And Mary's not. They believe that Mary was sinless. They teach Mary was sinless and Mary was perpetually a virgin. Again, if you read the Bible, you find out that's not true. Because Joseph didn't know his wife till after Jesus was born. And then after that, they had children. Because the Bible mentions, the Bible names Jesus' half-brothers, and then they say, and aren't his sisters here with us too? So he had at least seven siblings. We don't know how many sisters, they didn't mention their names, but he had at least seven siblings, so Mary was not a perpetual virgin. They say she was sinless. Well, no, because the Bible talks about that before they took Jesus to the temple to offer him to the Lord, as they were supposed to dedicate him to the Lord, and they brought the two turtle doves. The Bible records that after her purification, So, I mean, after giving birth, there's a time of purification. Well, purification is all about, you know, sin. So, I mean, it's you cannot believe the Catholic Church is even, you know, equal with the Baptists and what we teach and preach and what we believe. All right? The Roman Catholic Church, I'm sorry, is the mother of harlots the Bible talks about. And all throughout, from the time of this writing, the writing of Revelation, from the days of John, the Revelator, it was always preached against the Roman Catholic Church. But now we live in a day and age where, you know, all the religions want to get together. I mean, the Pope wants to get all the religions together, ecumenism. I can't even say that word correctly, but just getting all the different religions together. And that's why, you know, if you are a Bible-believing, born-again believer, you can't agree with the Catholic Church. All right? Now, if you have relatives, you know, as you're able to, give them the truth, all right, that only Jesus Christ saves. Now, look here, because verses 7, we'll focus on verses 7 through 18, because it talks about, it gives exactly who this harlot is, the mother of harlots, riding upon this beast. And in the beginning, the beast with the 7 heads, 10 horns. You go all the way back to chapter 13, we know it is the devil himself. He's the one that gives this church its power, its worldly influence, its wealth, its prestige. As I'm just now thinking about it, what was one of the temptations that Satan tempted Jesus with in the wilderness? He took him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all them. He was speaking of wealth, power, prestige, influence. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all that. And obviously Jesus didn't. But again, when you look at so many people want wealth, power, prestige, influence, they sell their soul to the devil. And some not even realizing they're doing it, others purposely giving their soul to the devil because that's what they want. And again, the Roman Catholic Church is the seat of Satan. It is the one world religion, the one world church that will reign in the days of the Antichrist. All right? Some things here. Another one. Now, this isn't the verse. It's not a quote of the verse, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Look at that, because one thing that the Roman Catholic Church says is that you cannot pray to God. You must bring your request to a priest, confess your sins to a priest, and he'll resolve you of your sin. He'll pray for you, right? Supposedly, the Pope is the mediator between man and God, that the Pope gets direct messages from the Lord. Well, he gets direct messages, but it's not from Jehovah. It's not from Jesus Christ. It's from Satan. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, and you look at verses 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Again, we're not supposed to be praying to a man. Again, prayer requests, I pray for you, but I can't forgive you of your sins, right? My prayers aren't the only prayers that reach the ears of God. Your prayers do too, right? But there's nothing wrong with us praying for one another, but there is something wrong when someone claims only they can talk to God and only hear from God. And, you know, they also teach that you pray to different angels for different things. Like different angels you pray to when you need different things in your life, whether it's health, wealth, whether it's, you know, physical healing, whatever. There's different angels that you are to pray to, and who they're praying to are fallen angels, demons. That's who they're praying to, because again, Jesus said not to make any images of anything in heaven, no statues, and don't even pray to them. Again, when you read scripture, in times when an angel would show up, Abraham or Moses or anybody else, they would fall down because it's like, oh no, and the angel, stand up, I'm a man just like you, right? They refused to be worshipped. Who does the Catholic Church say was the first pope? The Catholic Church claims Peter as their first pope. Well, the pope can't be married. When you look in Scripture, Peter was married because Jesus came into Peter's house and Peter's wife's mother lay sick. So there's a problem there because their doctrine says you can't be married, right? And that causes a whole host of problems, all right? Again, Babylon the Great being the Roman Catholic Church, it's a religious system, it's a political system because the Catholic Church is involved in every country politically, and they have a banking system. Did you know the Vatican? The Vatican, with I think has 1,000 residents, the Vatican City, there in Rome has 1,000 residents, and they have their own bank. They have their own bank. And I tried looking it up again about the Visa credit card and being attached to the Vatican and stuff. I couldn't. The closest thing I could find was that the current CEO of Visa, who is a Catholic and sits on the board of some Catholic institute or something, he's in trouble for porn. So figure that out. All right. But anyway, all right. All of this, but. All right, let's hurry up and get to it. Now, again, just looking at this, okay, who was reigning during the days of Christ? Rome. Rome was in power, okay. Jesus Christ, he dies. The church age is ushered in. The Babylonian worship goes all the way back to Nimrod. We talked about Nimrod last week, the Tower of Babel and all of that, and just really, if you dive into history, you find out all this, the gross things that are involved in their religion and their worship and stuff. Remember when we talked about going back to the letters, the seven letters to the seven churches, and there was one to Ephesus, and we looked at how wicked Ephesus was and how they worshiped all these different gods and just how they, this one god, the god... Well, she has many different names. Ishtar, she has the name of Diana of the Ephesians. And the way that you would bring your gifts and your offerings, you would actually, you know, go and sleep with a prostitute, one of the temple prostitutes. All right, that was part of their religion. That's part of their religion. All right, I'm giving you kind of a lot of facts right now, but again, the Roman Catholic Church, all right, their popes, their priests, they cannot be married. But whenever you have a monastery or whatever, and then several, you know, I don't know what the distance is. Some have said, you know, it's been just across the street. Some, you know, a couple miles. But then you have the nuns, they're building and stuff. There's secret tunnel underground that attaches the two of them because those priests or whatever, those, they would go over to the nuns and sleep with them, all right? And they would, you know, sometimes obviously get pregnant and they would have to kill the baby. And these things have been found out where they, in these monasteries, they found these wells that were full of baby bones. And again, many, many priests have come out of that and have testified and wrote books about the things that go on that nobody knows about. Now, they've been discredited by the Catholic Church, go figure, because they're speaking the truth, they're letting things be revealed. You might think, well, that's kind of weird. I mean, Pastor, I mean, you sure? I mean, yeah. I'll tell you this, there's a college in Indiana. I'll leave it nameless. There's a college in Indiana that two of my boys attended, and that college, before it was turned into a Baptist college, was a Catholic compound. I call them Catholic compounds. Did you know that? Because her and her husband attended there back in the 70s. And the pastor, that he would go there and he would see, I guess the priest or whoever was in charge of it, staying outside smoking his cigar. And this pastor would go to him and say, "Hey, I want to buy your building." "No, no, no." Finally, the priest contacted him and said, "Hey, we need to sell it. You want it?" "Sure." My personal opinion, should have been burnt down. And I'll tell you why. They discovered in this place that's now a Baptist college, and it's boarded up. No one's allowed there, but college kids, they still find their way, and there are underground tunnels. Did you know this? There are underground tunnels. Like my boy showed me the entrance to it, and it's locked off. You're not supposed to date because the school tells the first-year students, do not go in there. Anyway, the secret passage leads to a bunch of different rooms. And in these rooms, it's still there. Medical tables, all kinds of things, because the history of it is these priests would do abortions, obviously illegal abortions. Catholic mothers bring their daughters that ended up pregnant, teenagers, and they would do illegal abortions and stuff. So, I mean, just, it's wicked. I mean, the religion itself is wicked, not the innocent people that are caught up in it. Let me make that clear. I'm not talking against the innocent people that have been raised in that and have believed that, you know, this is true, okay? They don't know these things because, again, they're told you can't read your Bible. They're told you can't believe everything and all the things because it's deception, it's lies. Who's the father of lies? The devil is. Jesus said he's the father of lies, and every time the devil speaks, he's a liar. So wouldn't it stand to reason that his church should be a deceptive church, a lying church, right? Leading people to hell instead of to heaven. So, I mean, when you really check into the history of the Catholic Church, you find that it is more satanic than the Satanic Church in California. All right. So again, I mean, when you just think about, I mean, this religious institute is what's going to be reigning in the last days, but very quickly, you know, even though it's going to be reigning, we talked about how they led the Inquisitions, the Spanish Inquisition, all that stuff, the, you know, killing people that would not, you know, distrust in Jesus, you know, and follow their ways, all right? They would kill people. And guess what? They're going to be doing that in the last days. Anyone that won't take the mark of the beast, won't worship the beast, well, the Bible says their heads are chopped off. They're killed. And that's the church that leads the charge. But God's going to bring it to an end because I want you to notice in verse 17. Look at verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. All right, the 10 horns, again, speaking back, all right, it's these 10 kings, all right, 10 kingdoms, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. God's the righteous judge. God is the avenger. God is going to judge this religious system to the fullest, all right? For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. John knows who he's talking about. And he's telling those that are going to be reading this, the woman is that great city. I mean, he's writing down what he's being told by the angel. Because remember, verse 1 talks about one of the angels that had a vial pouring out the wrath of God is showing John this vision, this woman riding on the beast, and then explains to him who it is. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. Well, John would know who he's talking about, that great city. Because even in John's day, when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, it's Rome that's still in charge. It's Rome that's still in charge. And as I think about it, you remember the Pharisees worked for Rome. They got paid by Rome. You remember Jesus is in the temple and the Pharisees bring a woman caught in the very act of adultery? And I believe, the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe it was one of the Pharisees. How did they know they could catch her in the very act and at what time they could catch her in the act to bring her to Jesus? Because the Bible specifically says, they said, we caught her in the act. That's just how wicked and devilish these higher ups are in the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And I hesitate in saying priest because there's a lot of young men, again, that are fooled and think they just want to serve God. And you know what? They think, you know, I want to be a priest so I can serve God with my entire life because I want to love him with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. Because Martin Luther was a priest, but as he read his Bible, he realized, wait, it's grace by faith. I mean, we're saved by faith. So, you know, his 95 theses hammered on, you know, the Catholic Church, and he starts preaching the truth, and they want to kill him. You realize Martin Luther actually went to Rome to talk to the higher-ups, you know, the Pope and everybody, about what he read in the Bible. And Martin Luther gives an account that when he got to Rome and got to the Vatican and stuff, that area, he says he was disgusted. He said there was a prostitute on every corner. And just the sickness, the immorality, the fornication, and the drunkenness going on among the priests. And all of those men, he says he was so disgusted. He just wanted to serve God. So he came out of that, obviously started the Lutherans, okay? I say, there was a young man back in Wisconsin when I was pastoring there. He started coming to our church. He was there probably 3 years he was there, but before he came to our church, he actually was going to become a priest. I mean, his folks were not religious. They weren't saved, but his grandparents, they were Catholic, so he was going to the Catholic Church, and he wanted to become a priest, and he was starting that process. But he testifies, he was reading his Bible and realized, this isn't the right religion, and he got out, and because he read his Bible and how to be saved, he called on Christ for salvation, because faith coming by the word, right? So obviously, I mean, people start off with the innocence of, I just want to serve God. And they believe that, you know, this is the right church and stuff. But the higher-ups know differently. They know differently, and the system itself, with all the false prophet and all that, is going to be destroyed in the last days. God's going to take care of it. Let me read these very quickly for you, okay? Her identity, obviously, she's the great whore, the one world church that sitteth upon many waters, all right? And the water speaks of all the nations, and in every nation, every continent, there is a Catholic church. There is that influence, all right? Committing spiritual fornication with all nations. Her rise to power that we see here in this chapter, she's riding a scarlet beast, which scarlet is red. It speaks of sinful, all right, the Antichrist, the revived Rome with seven heads, all right, we talked about last week. Rome sits on seven hills and seven empires, All right, the seven empires would be Egypt, Asia, Babylon. Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the revived Rome. The ten horns represent the ten future nations of the revived Rome. And let me show you this real quick. We got about 10 minutes. I know I brought this up before, but when it talks about the ten kings, there is, and it's going to come to pass, but there is this agenda where they want to, right now we have, I forget how many different countries and all of that, but they want to actually divide up the world into 10 regions or 10 kingdoms. And again, you can look this up and find it out, but they're planning to divide the world up into 10 regions or 10 kingdoms, all right? And kind of goes along with, you know, what it's saying here in Revelation, the 10 kings who are going to, you know, they have power for 1 hour, it says in verse 12, power for 1 hour from the beast. But these 10 kings will actually turn on this false church, this false religion. God obviously uses the wickedness of man to judge the wickedness of this church. All right. So that's her rise to power, but her clothing. Notice her clothing again in verse 3. She's arrayed in purple, which signifies royal majesty, and scarlet, which obviously signifies sin. She's decked with gold and jewels, which speaks of massive wealth, and the Catholic Church is filthy rich. Just, you know what? They didn't gain their wealth off of people out of a generous heart giving. Again, you read the history of the Catholic Church, they forced widows into giving their wealth when their husbands would pass away and they were left and they had no other family. The priest would come to them and demand that she become a nun and take all the wealth. Take all her wealth, all right? And they also gained their wealth by paying for indulgences. I think the priest was, I forget his name. It starts with a T. But he would go around, and his saying was something like this. When the coffer rings, the spirit springs. Something along that lines, and he had people start paying to get people out of purgatory. He would come and teach them and tell them, oh, your loved one, they're in hell, they're burning, you put some money in, I'll pray for them, and they'll spring out, they'll spring. And the saying was a little more poetic than what I'm saying, but it was somewhat like that, where, it's just, throw in your change, when the coffer rings, then the spirit springs, something like that. And he started making money like that. And obviously, that kind of took off because people pay for their indulgences. He was teaching people to pay to get people out of hell. But then the church itself started teaching to, you can pay for indulgences. Well, I want to go fornicate this weekend. So you pay the priest, the amount of money he says you have to pay for that sin. And he'll go ahead and forgive you of that sin before you commit it. And you go commit it with a clear conscience that, I've been forgiven, and that's, does the Bible teach us that? No. God teaches to abstain from that, to have a pure, wholesome, holy living. Be holy as I am holy, all right? It's just wickedness. Here's another thing I want you to look at. Here's the Pope's hat that he wears. All right? It's made of gold. It has all these jewels on it. And it has this inscription on it. Vicarius Vidal, or Vili, I don't know how you say it. It's all right, it's whatever, Roman. All right. But these are Roman numerals. All right, Roman numerals, Vicarius, there's our Roman numerals, how it all adds up. Just look at that on the right-hand side, Vicarius. Those are all Roman numerals, so it adds up to 112. Vilel, I don't know how to say that. That adds up to 53, and then the last day adds up to 500. When you add all those Roman numerals up, it comes up to 666. Didn't we just read that the man of sin the Antichrist, his number would be 666. Now, I won't be dogmatic and say that the Pope is the Antichrist. It's possible. And then there's a false prophet within the church that rises up to, hey, worship him because he's God. Because people believe that he is God, because he's the only one that can talk to God. And God talks to him and gives him scripture. A lot of, again, I say it, a lot of good Catholics, because I say good as they are really believing, they're living, they believe that this is the way. They're deceived. But there are a lot of Catholics that believe that the Pope is God. So it's very possible that he will be the Antichrist, the current one. The current one. Because when you look at all the popes from the beginning, starting at Pius VI, going all the way up to Pope Francis, who was elected in 2013, because Pope Benedict just mysteriously resigned. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that. I mean, the whole thing of, you know, them being in their secret room there at the Vatican, and when the white smoke goes up or the black smoke, you know, if it's the white smoke, then hey, they all are in agreement, they've chosen the Pope. And I remember seeing that. I remember watching it because it's interesting. And, you know, Pope Benedict comes out on the balcony. You know, he's been, you know, robed, and he's the new Pope. I forget how. It wasn't much longer, because gives the date. Yeah, so April 2005, all right, Pope Benedict. But then a very short time, because they reign until they die. Because before Benedict, it was John Paul, right? And he reigned, you know, from 78 to 2005. So from 2005, just 8 years, Benedict steps down, and Pope Francis is chosen. Now, the interesting thing about Pope Francis, there's a written rule in the Vatican and in Roman Catholicism that a Jesuit can never be a pope. I take that back. Have you ever heard of the black pope? The Roman Catholic Church has the white pope, which is the one that you always see on TV, and he's going around the world. But they have a black pope who is behind the scenes running things, and the black popes are Jesuits. If you read the history on the Jesuit order is all about putting people into positions in the world. And they are the ones that are went around murdering people and, you know, forcing kings to, you know, come under the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, you read this, it's crazy. But they had a written rule that a Jesuit pope, the black pope, could never become a white pope. Francis is a Jesuit. So that is kind of what's like, wait a minute. They're even breaking their own rules, and they know he's a Jesuit. So it kind of makes you wonder, well, maybe he is going to be the Antichrist. If not the Antichrist, he'll at least be the false prophet. All right. So it's very interesting. The Jesuits, they work at infiltrating governments, schools, every facet of society that they can get into to control and corrupt and bring people under their teachings. And in our country, in this country, we have, last time I checked was, I think I looked this up last year, there are 32 Jesuit colleges in our country. And what they do is they brainwash the people that come to, A lot of the people that go to their colleges are Catholics, and they're going into government and different, you know, areas in our country like that, all right? And there are 32, and if I say the name of one, because it's a very prominent one, that it's mentioned all the time, Georgetown University. Ever heard of Georgetown University? It's a very prestigious college. It's a Jesuit college, and when you even go to their website, they, in their history, talk about it being a Jesuit college. And someone might say, well, what's important about that? Again, you read the history of the Jesuits and what their motives are. It is all about taking over the world. It's all about, and they do it by infiltrating countries and cities and taking over the government positions and stuff, all right? Again, they're all about killing and taking over. If you read history, the man who killed Abraham Lincoln was a Jesuit. If I say Dr. Tony Fauci, Anthony Fauci, he's a Jesuit. He's a Jesuit. Some of our presidents went to Jesuit colleges. And again, these are not, I just bring it up to let you know that how the Roman Catholic Church has influenced every facet of society in the world. And it all goes to because they want to take over the world, and the Lord's going to give them that time. The Lord's going to give them 7 years with the Antichrist, okay? So, I mean, time just escaping. I don't have time to go into all of it, but, I mean, again, when you read up on this, it's like if a Catholic read the Bible, the true Bible, they would come out of it. If they knew the history of their church, they'd come out of it. Because, I mean, history is rewritten. How do you keep people from knowing the truth? Well, you do like the communist countries. You get rid of all the books. You rewrite history. You get rid of all the books that speak the truth. And then what is left is, oh, well, this must be true. You know, keep reading your Bible because God reveals things, and God revealed to John and the early church and the early Christians, you know, just who this harlot was. And when, you know, didn't really get into it this morning, but all the rituals that the Roman Catholic Church has, it's all taken from the religions of the world, and it goes all the way back to Nimrod and Babylon. Again, who are we supposed to worship? God. There's one God, right? There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, right? But any religious system that calls itself a church and even calls themselves Christians, but they do not worship Jesus Christ and Him alone, they're not true Christians. It's not a true Christian church. And we got to be careful because when the music, Christian music, Christian books, Christian media that is not solely centered on the truth of God's word is leading people astray, leading young people astray, leading older saints astray. Because again, we live in a culture that says, well, you know, tolerance, acceptance, right? But they don't accept the truth. They don't tolerate the truth. They don't tolerate anyone that speaks the truth or believes the truth. So again, as we're going through Revelation, I mean, I just am more cemented in my belief that I'm not in the right religion because I'm not part of a religion. I'm part of a relationship, the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we have a church, we have a body of believers that come together to worship and to sing praises to our Savior and to our Creator, but also to study the truth, right? The truth. What did Jesus say in John 17, verse 17? He's praying in the temple before going over to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's left the upper room. He washed his disciples' feet. Judas Iscariot has left the group to betray Jesus. And to lead the mob to the garden. And Jesus takes the 11 disciples. They sing a hymn. They go out. They stop at the temple. In John 17, it's Jesus' prayer between him and the Father. And in verse 17, he tells the Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if you want to know if something is deceiving, deceptive, a lie, false, compare it with Scripture. Because this truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's not just about, you know, a spiritual enlightenment, knowing the truth that, no, it's, you know what, I can look at the Bible and look at things in the world going, wow, you know what? The Bible talks about it. And I'm glad that God has not left us here to be deceived, right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning just for your goodness and your grace and the truth that you've left us. I do pray, Father, for those that, Lord, the good people, Lord, that are caught up in such a false religion, a false church, that, Father, you would just open up their eyes and draw their hearts unto you, Lord. I know of many Catholics who just wanted the truth. And Lord, you said if anybody would seek you with all their heart, they'd find you. And Lord, I've met these people who have come out of Catholicism because they loved you and they were seeking you and you showed them the fallacies. And Lord, they left because they wanted you and you led them to a right church, a right body of believers. So Lord, we do pray for our loved ones, for our friends, co-workers, acquaintances, everybody that we know that are in the Catholic Church, Lord, that you would just open their eyes, draw their hearts to you, and help them, Father, to come out from among them and to come to the cross of Calvary and to put their faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ for his finished work, that he shed his blood for them. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got a few minutes.